25 to 11. Let's see what's happening on the pace. Greg Hayes, good morning.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. We're going to have a chat this morning with John Bozzerio, who took a little bit of a break from the game. He was a very good trainer going back a few years ago, and then all of a sudden we didn't hear his name for a while, and it's good to see him back. He's got a nice two-year-old by the name of Mystery Road, who took out the Rod Fitzpatrick Tatlow Stakes on Friday night at Menangle, the Group 2. Mystery Road is now 3 from 3, and he's being aimed towards the Bathurst Gold Crown, which has come up on us pretty quickly. The heats will be run this Saturday night as we head towards the final, which will be next Friday week. Mystery Road went 154.4, quarters of 28.30, 27.8 and 28.6. He was the 155 favourite, and he was able to beat Crafty Bart, the 100-1 pop by a half head. The Mustang ran third for Bernie Hewitt and Doug Hewitt, which was a $71 chance. And Calypso King was the fourth runner home, and he was a $71 chance. So the odds on favourite beat the roughest, and then the next two roughest in the race ran third and fourth. So it was, despite the favourite winning narrowly, all the roughies were around him. So we'll catch up with John today. When I was speaking with John yesterday, he's pretty sore. He's got a pretty sore back. So he was off to get some scans yesterday afternoon. Hopefully he'll be right to speak with us today. Also going to catch up with Noel Daly today. Former Queenslander, went across to the States a number of years ago and had a lot of success over there, trained more than 2,570 winners in his time in the States, won more than $61 million for his connections. And in his time in America, there weren't too many more trainers than who won more prize money during that time. Guys like Ron Burke, Jimmy Tactor, Irv Miller, they're the sort of trainers that won more money than Noel in that time frame. So we're going to catch up with Noel. He's going to be the new trainer for Emilio and Mary Rosati out at their new property. So I thought we'd catch up with Noel today. It's a pretty slow start for Noel as he arrives back in Australia, but I think in the next couple of weeks it's all going to heat up for Noel. So I thought we'd get him on today. Next week, obviously, it'll be all about Bathurst. So we'll speak with Noel today. And the Harness Jewels, the New Zealand Harness Jewels, She's All Rock was effectively an Aussie winner last year. Obviously was in the Purden camp, but was an Australian win. It was an Australian invite, but was being cared for by Mark Purden at the time. And Darren Williams, we do it each and every year. We catch up with Darren to have a chat about the Harness Jewels. And basically the way it works is that an Australian gets invited in each of the Harness Jewels sections or the divisions. And Darren is encouraging connections, whether it be trainers or owners, to get in contact with Darren. If you believe that you've got a horse that's good enough to represent Australia in any of the divisions, to contact him and put your horse forward for an invitation to the Jewels. So we'll speak with Darren a little bit later on in the show. And of course, we will be out by just before 11 o'clock because it is a very important day with the barrier draw for the Golden Slipper. But first up this morning, we're going to catch up with John Bozzerio about his very talented two-year-old by the name of Mystery Road, and John's joining us on the show. Morning, John.
Hey, Greg. How you going, mate?
Mate, really well. Tell us about your time away from the sport. You obviously had some success going back a few years ago, but we haven't heard from you in quite a few years. You took some time out?
Yeah, probably 6 or 7 years ago, I had a run-in with a couple of the stewards, and I thought, if I don't give the game away, I'm going to do something I shouldn't do, so I sort of just handed my license in. Yeah, I just wasn't real happy with the way things were going. I thought that no way in the world I was ever going to get another horse, but then this fellow's come along, so it's been pretty good.
So how did all that come about? You were out helping Wayne Lamb and up there at Golden Gate?
Yeah, well, I'd known Wayne and Ann for 40-odd years, been real good friends of theirs. This time last year, I was giving them a hand with the yearlings, getting ready for the Bathurst, and this colt was in the paddock with 3 or 4 others, and he just stood out, and I just kept looking at him and looking at him. And cut a long story short, we finished up getting him, yeah, so it was good.
And has he always had ability from day one? He really shows it on the racetrack, but has he always shown it to you from the day you bought him?
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he's always done a few little things wrong. We still haven't sorted him out yet. He does a bit of hang and touches his knee a bit. And well, I thought we had him right, but last Friday at Meningle, I thought that big track would suit him, but he was all over the shop there. So we just got to go back to the drawing board and sort him out again. Yeah.
He had his first trial, official trial, back on the 17th of December, and he finished third in that trial. And you had him back at the trials then in late January and then again in early February. He won his first trial on the 18th of February, and then you took him to the races in late February and he won there, and he was super impressive. He showed speed and he led and he won as he liked. He won by the best part of 15 metres and he beat the Mustang quite convincingly, and he got home in 28.6 and 27.5. So you're obviously able to iron him out enough to take him to the races for the first time, and you must have been impressed with what you saw on debut.
Yeah, very impressed. Yeah, well, I'm lucky enough to be training out at Chris Frisby's place. He's let me out there, and he's got a fantastic setup. But out there, see Chris gallops all his horses, and I just hobble mine. And he doesn't run a quarter quicker than 30 out there, but he's always showing me that he could, you know. So he's always showing that. That's sort of like it's going to be okay, yeah.
And then he went, you took him down, I was having a chat to Anthony Frisby about him when he went down to Wagga, and Anthony said probably not the ideal race for him, but you wanted to make sure that you banked enough prize money to get into the Rod Fitzpatrick Memorial Race. So he went to Wagga for that opening meeting, and he was super impressive there because he had to do all the work outside the leader, and he still powered away to win.
He was, yeah, very good. Yeah, I was talking to John Dumasy at the yearling sales and about what you have to do to get into the Rod Fitzpatrick, and he said you'd probably have enough money, but he said if I was you, I'd make sure of it and try to get a bit more. And luckily, we finished up winning the money, so it was. But he did go very good down there. He got home in I think he broke 27 for the last two, and. You wouldn't know he'd been around when he come back. He'd just done it really good. Yeah. And Anthony was very impressed with him, so that's the main thing.
Yeah, for sure and certain.
Doing all the work.
Yeah. So obviously he's a Bathurst horse, so he'll go towards the Gold Crown. What's the plans with him after that?
Well, we go straight in the paddock after Gold Crown. If he doesn't do any good Saturday night, he'll probably go in the paddock Sunday.
Yep.
If he goes all right, we'll wait another week. And then hopefully, I think he's eligible for Queensland and New South Wales bred. So there's a couple of good races end of the year for both states. So I don't want to get greedy, but we'll get into one of them. It'd be good, yeah.
So are you only training him, or have you got another one or two?
No, that's him. Craig and I, we bought that. Oh, and a mate of mine, Kenny Plunkett, we bought another one at Queensland sale, APG sale.
Yep.
And we broke him in, and he broke him pretty good. So when he goes out, this other fellow will come in. I'll muck around with him for a little bit more.
Mate.
Give him a bit more education, yeah. But he looks like he might be okay too.
Beautiful. What's he by?
He's watching.
He's watching. All right.
Yeah, he's not a real big fella, but he does everything right. So it's the main thing, yeah.
Well, mate, it's great to see you back having a few and training a couple. Great to see you back in the sport. Good to see that you've got a good one, and we wish you all the best of luck with Mystery Road in the heats on the weekend.
Good on you, Greg. Thanks very much for ringing.
No problems. Thank you, John.
I'd also, mate, like to thank Ronnie Jones and Steph Burley. They do all the work for me out of Christmas. I'm laid up in bed now. My back's buggered and I can hardly move, but they've been doing all the work for me this week and every other day, so it's been very helpful.
So are you hopeful that your back will be right in the coming weeks?
Oh, well, I hope so. I'll get there somehow, but I don't know how, but I'll make it. Don't worry about that.
All the best of luck, mate. Hopefully you're there fit as a fiddle on Gold Crown night.
Good on you, Greg. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
you,
mate. There he is, John Vazirio. Does a good job with his horses, and he's got that horse, Mystery Road, absolutely flying. So we wish him all the best of luck, and fingers crossed that his health improves and he can get there, and his horse can get through to the Gold Crown final after qualifying in the heats this Saturday night. Mentioned Noel Daly. He had a wow of a time in the States, spent a number of years over there, trained 2,570 winners in his time in the US, and won more than $61 million in prize money, or his horses did, and in the time that he was in the States, that put him up with the names like Ron Burke, Jimmy Tacter, Irv Miller, absolute legend of the sport. He's decided to come home, and in returning to Australia, he's going to take up a role with Emilio and Mary Rosati, and Noel Daly's joining me to have a chat about that role. Good morning, Noel.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Mate, really well. Was it a tough decision to come home, or was the time right?
No, the time was right. I'd actually looked at it, honestly, for 5 or 6 years. It was just working out how to do it. You know, not the easiest game to get going in from scratch here. This was the best solution for me, you know, working with Emilio and Mary there. Obviously, they were building their own setup out there at Ludnam. Unfortunately, it's taken a little longer than expected to get up and going, so the time was definitely right for me to come home, but it's just taking us a little bit of time getting organised there, that's all.
So how's it going to work with Emilio and Mary? Are you basically going to start from scratch with two-year-olds? Are you going to have older horses? How's it going to work?
No, basically, you know, they've got a lot of different trainers, horses in a lot of different places, and they'll all stay where they are. You know, there are a couple of people there who just do pre-training in that forum, and a couple of those horses will come over. But in general, they'll be two-year-olds and green three-year-olds. And we'll just go from there. You know, he's been looking around as well. He'll, you know, he may buy the odd horse, older horse that comes up there if the right ones look like they could do the job.
Okay. And what about returning home? You obviously mentioned it's been, you know, 5 or 6 years since you've been looking at it. Have you been watching what's been happening back here in Australia in that time?
Yeah, you know, I sort of pretty much decided that Menangle was the area that was going to suit me, you know. It was just a way looking to see how I could do it. You know, I'll be a little fresh there at the start, working out how the handicapping system and everything goes. But the one good thing with it is we're starting, you know, with me starting basically with young horses, you know, we can feel our way through from there.
Do you think the Australian product is getting closer to what the American racing serves up?
Oh, definitely with the paces, you know, like between the Australian and the New Zealand paces that have gone over there, they're very competitive. Yonkers Raceway wouldn't exist without the Down Under horses, basically. And, you know, the last couple of years, mares in particular have gone over there and done a hell of a job there. She was a Kiwi mare, Chartin, but she, you know, I had a very good feeling that won the Jugheads, made me over $1 million over there. Caveat Alley, but we had to knock heads with Chartin. She got the better of us most of the time there last year. And I believe she came out and won her first start there the other night too at Yonkers for the year. So the mares in particular have really, you know, they've gone as good as anything. You know, you're a generation behind in the trotting side of things, but you now got access to all the good trotting stallions, but obviously the trotting brood mares, you know, they have to pick it up a little bit, but that's for the smaller part of the game here. The game's mainly pacing, and as far as that's concerned, you know, it's definitely not far behind.
What about some of the workers that you had come through your barn when you were in the States? Does it give you some pleasure seeing some of the young guys that have gone on and had success that went through your place while you were there? Does it give you some joy?
No, absolutely. You know, I get a big kick out of it, sitting there and watching them, you know, win good races. And James Rattray come home there. You know, obviously James come from a very good harness racing family, so we're not taking credit there. But he had a couple of years there with us, so I get a big kick out of having to be back here when he, Yeah, when Bowtide was going so good, Anton Galino worked with me on and off there for, you know, 8 or 10 years. Basically, he's done very good down there in Victoria with the trotters. Yeah, I had a whole host of different, you know, young fellas come and go, you know, so I always get a kick out of seeing them do well.
And I see that Leonard Cain's made a move down from Queensland, and he's going to be working for Emilio and Mary by the looks of it.
Yeah, I've got two young fellas out of Queensland, Cam Ross and Leonard. I actually, good friend of Leonard's father, you know, real early in the piece when I first started out in harness racing in Queensland there with Ian McMahon. God, 30 years ago, I knew Leonard's father. And then I remember coming over here 7 or 8 years ago and just happened to run into Leonard, and that they were down there. Luke McCarthy's there. Leonard was down here with the pony races there, the mini trotters. And I thought to myself, Dan, if I come back, I'll get that kid. And it took a while to do it, but, you know, Leonard started out. He's done very well. I think he's over 100 winners there last season. And, you know, he's young. He's got a lot to learn there. But Emilio's happy to have someone like that, you know. He'll get a chance to drive a lot of the young horses there. So hopefully it works out for all of us. And Sam Ross, he was basically the number two man there for Grant Dixon there. So he's pretty accomplished there. And we'll just, you know, I'll build it around those two boys and we'll go from there.
How long do you think it'll be before you have a runner, Noel?
There's a few that Lucy Heath's got a few there that she had two wins in a second there. Up at Bathurst there yesterday, I know one or two of them are coming my way. There are another three or four three-year-olds that, you know, just either untried or very lightly raced that are ready to trial here over the next week or so. We'll start with a few of them as soon as we're up and going. Had a bit more luck this week there getting stalls at Menangle once we can get them organised, and hopefully we're in and going there next week. And basically we'll have you know, a couple of them that had been pre-trained for us nearly ready to go, and then it'll just be a matter of seeing how the rest of the two-year-olds, some are still in Melbourne and we still have some of the others out here, and the green three-year-olds, we'll get going with them and work it up from there.
It's very exciting to have you back in Australia. We look forward to seeing some of your runners on the track. Thanks for joining me this morning.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks.
There he is, Noel Daly, and he's going to join the training ranks here in Sydney. It is amazing what the Menangle Training Centre has done for the place. You've got Tim Buddy up there. You've obviously attracted Shane Tritton to move down from the Hunter Valley. You've obviously got guys like Darren Binskin out there, Darren McCall's out there, Jared Alchin's out there, David Aiken's out there. Anthony Butt has moved there with his partner Sonia Smith. It is a remarkable place. Shane Sanderson's doing a wonderful job out there with his team. Cameron Hart obviously helps him. A remarkable place. And now Noel Daly obviously will end up at Emilio's. But for the time being, he's waiting for Barnes, and by the sounds of it, it's going to move in at Menangle until they are ready for him at the new place. We're going to catch up with Darren Williams now, the racing and marketing manager for Harness Racing New Zealand. We do this each and every year at about this time. We catch up with Darren just to have a little bit of a chat about the Harness Jewels, because it is coming up, and it'll come up very quickly. And it's very important that Australian trainers and owners keep in mind the Harness Jewels, because it's a great chance, if you think you've got a horse good enough to go over and compete and represent your country, that you keep Darren's contact details in the back of your mind, because here's a chance to throw your hat in the ring and maybe drop Darren an email or give him a call if you think you've got a good enough horse to go across and head over to the Jewels. And this year it's in Addington, or in New Zealand, in Christchurch. Darren's joining us. Good morning, Darren.
Yeah, good morning, Greg.
Mate, we do this chat each and every year, and good to have you on again. Harness Jewels time is not too far away. End of May, start of June, and looking forward to it again this year.
Yeah, dates the 1st of June, Saturday the 1st of June, at Addington Raceway for the first time. 1980 metre mobiles they are this time. The mobile mile point at Addington's right on a bend. So this is the first time that we've stepped away from Cambridge and Ashburton. So 1980 metres, a bit of a longer run to the first corner, so that will help a few horses. But we are, look, we'd be delighted to have some Australians over to compete again. We had five horses actually go round in the duels last year, and an Australian horse won for the first time. She's All Rock, admittedly trained by Mark and Natalie for the duels, having come over from Australia from Mark Pitt. So there was also a second with Pete Big Jim, and a couple of placings with a couple of trotters, Wobbly and Dance Craze. So we'd love to have Australian representation here at our feature race meetings all the time, as we do going over to Australia and competing. And we've already had unprecedented interest for this year, with 14 horses on the books that have expressed some interest in competing already. So exciting times.
And it's important, obviously, if Connections do think they've got a horse good enough, they are more than welcome to contact you, and then you and your selection committee can sit down and have a look at the horse's credentials, and if they're good enough, they'll be offered an invite to come across and represent Australia.
Yeah, that's it, Greg. The invite process starts with expressions of interest, because obviously the horses, we're talking 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds for both fillies and colts and geldings and trotters. And there's a lot of racing for them, as we can appreciate, right across Australia and even for the horses here in New Zealand. So expressions of interest for those that want to extend their season to compete in the harness duels. And then we work through the list and go, right, we're happy with this horse, and we discuss that with the connections. But as I say, I've already had discussions with all the connections of those 14 horses that are on the books now. And there's exciting horses amongst them. Lochinvar Art, Emerald Stride, 3-year-old trotter of David Miles. Spoke to him yesterday at length about that horse. Some trotters, Amata Freer of Anton Galino, Stress Factor. The Pink Bonnet winner just recently at Menangle, I Can Run. And on it goes. And these are very high-class horses. But as I say, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge before the duels yet, and those discussions are just starting. But the interest is outstanding.
Now, Connections, how does it work? Do they pay their way to and from New Zealand? Is that how it works?
Yeah, that is how it works, Greg. Yeah, it's a free entry into a Group 1 race.
Yep.
There's no starting fees, and all the horses get paid to go around. In discussions, we have a little bit of work that we do with the trainers and Connections as to assisting with some of that travel arrangements and some of the cost. But effectively, it's not a prepayment race, so the New Zealanders have to earn their right to get in there by being the top stake earners in each category. And the Australian horse doesn't even have to go into a heat or anything like that to qualify. It's just a straight invite straight into a Group 1. The pacers go around for $150,000, with the winners getting $75,000, and the trotters go around for $125,000. So 9 Group 1 races on the day, and once we've run the duels this year, which will be the 13th year, there's been just on $17.5 million paid out in stakes already for a series of races, with no payments required for participants to go around in them.
And Australians should remember at the moment the exchange rate is basically dollar for dollar. So in the past, where it's the exchange rate's been a dollar for $1.20, at the moment it is a dollar for a dollar. Darren, what's the best way people can contact you?
So the best way is probably to email me. So Darren, D-A-R-R-I-N, at hrnz.co.nz. More than happy to ring on my mobile if they want to. 00-11-64-21-226-0234. So it's a New Zealand mobile number, 21-226-0234. But even just texting me, and I'm more than happy to ring them back. I know trainers are very busy, so I end up being really busy later at night, which is okay, and have those discussions. And just often the trainers and the owners just want to know how it works and what would happen. Even talking to David Miles yesterday about Emerald Stride, and of course owned by Amelia Rosati. They're very keen to come over, but there's still some racing for her to go yet, and we just work through that and see how she comes through each race and keep in contact with the connections. And it's terrific. And whilst we've had an Australian horse win the duels last year, we haven't had an Australian trained horse win it yet. And I know what we call the captain of the Australian team, Shane Tritton, who's been a friend of the Jules for a long time with bringing horses over and assisting us with some of that process. He's very keen to be the first Australian trainer to win a Harness Jules, and I'm sure he'll be back with something this year. The other thing to remember is this year, for the first time, the races are sponsored by IRT, International Racehorse Transport, and they're working very closely with everyone on how they can get those horses directly into Christchurch or alternatively into Auckland and flying straight down to Christchurch without them having to leave the airport at Auckland. So there's a lot going on in the background to assist the trainers and the owners with that process as well.
Good on you, Darren. Thanks very much for that, and we'll speak again soon.
Thanks, Greg.
There he is, Darren Williams from Harness Racing New Zealand. Wraps up my part of the show. Don't forget, the Golden Slipper Barrier Draw is up next.
Yes, it certainly is there, Greg Hayes, and the Longines Golden Slipper. It'll be race 7 on Saturday at 4:30. You've had the field earlier. There were no surprises. Bivouac, the first emergency. Rome, the second emergency. And Bellevue Hill is the third emergency. The barrier draw at Rose Hill. Compare is Greg Radley.